For the longest time, interacting with technology was it was kind of like being a switchboard operator back in the 1920s.
Oh, yeah. Totally manual.
Right, you had this massive wall of inputs, and if you wanted a specific result, you had to actively grab a physical wire and plug it into the exact right hole.
You had to do the conscious work to make the connection.
Exactly. The tool was essentially asleep until you forced it to wake up.
It was a highly manual, reactive relationship. I mean, we commanded and the machine executed. But the baseline assumption was always that the human had to initiate the action.
But then you look at where we are right now, and suddenly it feels like that giant switchboard is just, well, it's being dismantled.
Yeah, it really is.
We are moving into a world where technology is operating more like the electrical grid itself. It's invisible, it's autonomous, and it's just constantly humming in the background.
Anticipating what you need before you even reach for the plug.
Precisely. So, welcome to another deep dive. Today we are unpacking a massive stack of breaking tech news from the May 17th, 2026 edition of Tikkun Morning.
We've got a lot to cover today.
We really do. We are looking at everything from major Google I/O announcements to the academic world literally declaring war on AI fraud.
And, our goal today isn't just to walk you through a list of disconnected headlines. We want to map out a monumental industry-wide shift happening right under our noses.
Right, a complete paradigm shift.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Artificial intelligence is officially graduating from an experimental novelty that you tinker with in a web browser to the invisible infrastructure running our personal devices, our corporate marketing, our cybersecurity, and even our core scientific research.
It's everywhere. And you are the perfect guide to help connect the dots across all these completely different fields. Because when you look at these sources, it feels like a coordinated leap forward.
What's fascinating here is that we are watching the entire technology stack consolidate around AI simultaneously.
Yeah, it's not isolated anymore.
No, not at all. It's not just one software company or one hardware manufacturer pushing the envelope. We are seeing a synchronized evolution across silicon chips, telecommunications, enterprise software, and academia, all happening at the exact same moment.
And there is no better place to start mapping this out than the devices currently sitting in our pockets. So let's look at Google I/O 2026.
Oh man, that event was huge.
It was so dense that Google actually expanded it to 2 days, May 19th and 20th, specifically to avoid, quote, information overload.
Which, ironically, is exactly the problem we try to solve for you on this deep dive.
Right. But the absolute show slubber here is Android 17 and something called Gemini Intelligence. They're calling this the shift to an intelligent operating system.
Which is a crucial distinction. I mean, historically, an operating system is really just a digital filing cabinet and a manager for your apps.
Right, you open the cabinet, you pick the app.
Right, exactly. But the core philosophy behind Android 17 is predictive computing. The operating system is no longer waiting for you to tap an icon. It uses on-device AI models to actively anticipate your needs.
Okay, so what does that actually look like in practice?
Well, for instance, if you miss a phone call because your calendar shows you are currently in a meeting, Android 17 understands that context.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it will automatically draft a
Yeah.
contextually appropriate text response to the caller waiting for your quick approval. Or say you have an appointment across town.
Okay.
It continuously monitors real-time traffic without being asked and proactively suggests an early departure time if an accident happens on the highway.
Okay, let's unpack this because that is a massive paradigm shift in how we interact with our phones.
It really is.
I mean, operating systems used to be like a massive public restaurant menu. You had to point to exactly what you wanted and the machine cooked it.
Yeah, totally reactive.
Now, Android 17 is like an omakase chef who has been watching your eating habits for years. They just start placing your favorite dishes in front of you the moment you sit down because they've already cross-referenced your schedule, the weather, and the live traffic conditions.
That is the perfect way to visualize it.
Yeah.
It is seamless anticipation, but the key technical achievement here isn't just that it's happening, but where it is happening.
Right. It's not in the cloud anymore.
Exactly. This level of intelligence is running locally, directly on your physical device. It's powered by Google's Tensor G5 chips or Qualcomm's Snapdragon 8 Gen 4.
Which are incredibly powerful chips.
Very powerful. And to do this without violating your privacy, they're heavily relying on a technique called federated learning.
Now, I understand that means the data stays on the phone, but like, how does the AI actually get smarter if it's not talking to Google's massive brain in the cloud?
It's an elegant solution, honestly. The phone trains a tiny, localized version of the AI right on your device, learning your specific habits, your schedule, your tone of voice. Then, usually at night when you're connected to Wi-Fi, the phone encrypts and sends only the mathematical lessons learned, what we call the model weights, back to Google.
So wait, no personal data goes back?
Zero. Your actual text messages, your photos, and your location data never leave the physical hardware. Google just averages out those mathematical lessons from millions of phones to improve the main system and sends an updated, smarter model back to your phone.
That is brilliant. It completely bypasses the massive privacy concerns that have historically made people terrified of always-on digital assistants.
Exactly. It's a game changer for privacy.
But this Omica Chef isn't just trapped in your phone. The source material also highlights the impending launch of Android XR, their extended reality platform, coming in Q4 of 2026.
Yes, and Google is taking a completely different strategy from the competition here.
Very different. I mean, look at Apple's Vision Pro. It's a technological marvel, but it is a rigidly closed ecosystem that costs $3,499.
Which is just inaccessible for most people.
Right. Then you have Meta's Quest 3, which dominates the accessible consumer market at $499.
So Google is applying their classic Android playbook to mixed reality. They are building an open operating system and licensing it to hardware partners like Samsung and Qualcomm.
Meaning we get way more hardware options.
Exactly. That means we're going to see Android XR glasses hitting price points anywhere from an entry-level $299 all the way up to premium $3,000 enterprise headsets.
And it all ties back to that Gemini intelligence layer.
Right. The AI is the glue.
The documentation emphasizes seamless context switching. Meaning you could start researching a topic on your Android 17 phone, put on your Android XR glasses, and the operating system knows to seamlessly transition that exact task to your visual feel as you walk and then hand it off to your laptop when you sit down.
The AI is the continuous thread across all your devices.
It's incredible.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this explains exactly why Google is pushing so hard right now.
Why is that?
Well, the smartphone hardware market has completely plateaued. Cameras are already incredible, screens are razor sharp, and people are holding onto their phones for 3 or 4 years instead of upgrading.
That's true. There hasn't been a must-have feature in a while.
Right. So this on-device AI integration and the seamless ecosystem connection to XR wearables is specifically designed to be the catalyst for the next massive device upgrade cycle.
Right. Which brings up a glaring bottleneck. We have this incredible Omcast Chef inside the phone doing federated learning. But running these localized models requires massive compute power.
Huge amounts of compute.
The silicon from 3 years ago literally cannot process this. That makes older phones instantly obsolete. So how does the industry get these expensive new $900 chips into consumers' hands without massive sticker shock?
The telecom industry clearly saw that exact vulnerability, and they are pouncing on it.
Yes, they are.
The wireless carriers want to be the gatekeepers to this new era. They know that to access ambient AI, you need the hardware.
Which completely explains this absolute bombshell offer from T-Mobile highlighted in our sources. They are offering a quote-unquote free iPhone 17.
Free, with air quotes, yeah.
Right. No trade-in required. You can keep your old phone. All you have to do is port your number over to their network.
Sounds amazing on the surface.
It does. Now, if you are listening to this right now and trying to figure out if you should jump on this deal to get these new AI features, I have to play the skeptic. Free in the telecom world usually means a very expensive, cleverly disguised trap. Is this too good to be true?
Well, to figure that out, we have to analytically break down the total cost of ownership. T-Mobile isn't just handing you a premium piece of hardware out of the goodness of their hearts.
That's shocking.
I know, right? The phone is actually paid for via 24 monthly bill credits of $37.46. But to qualify for those credits, you are required to enroll in their premium data plans.
And those are not cheap.
No, they are not. You have to get either the Experience Beyond at $90 a month or the Better Value plan at $70 a month.
I see. So let me do the math here. If I'm a single user and I take that $90 plan, over 2 years. That's over $2,100 in service fees alone.
Exactly.
Add in the taxes and fees, and we're talking about roughly $2,400 to $2,500 out of pocket over a two-year period.
Right. Now, let's contrast that. If you simply bought an unlocked iPhone 17 outright from Apple for $899, and you took it to a budget carrier like Mint Mobile.
Which is what, $30 a month?
Yeah. Which charges about $30 a month for unlimited data. Your total cost over 2 years is just over $1,600.
Wow. Okay.
So as a single user, you are ultimately paying an $800 to $900 premium for the privilege of that free phone.
That is a staggering premium. So why is T-Mobile subsidizing the hardware so aggressively if they are essentially just hiding the cost in the service plan? What's the strategic play?
Well, the 5G market in the U.S. is completely saturated.
Right.
I mean, everyone who wants a 5G connection has one. The infrastructure is built.
Right. There's no new customers to find.
Precisely. Because subscriber growth has fundamentally stalled, the carriers are engaged in a brutal war of attrition. They're willing to sacrifice their short-term profitability on hardware simply to steal market share from Verizon and AT&T.
Just shuffling the same customers around.
Exactly. And we should note, this deal is actually brilliant for a very specific type of listener, families.
Oh, because of the multi-line discounts on those premium plans?
Exactly. A family of four on that premium plan pays about $140 a month total.
Okay, that changes the math.
Massively.
Yeah.
If each of those four lines gets a free iPhone 17 with no trade-in required, that family is saving nearly $3,600 on device costs over 2 years compared to buying them outright.
That's huge.
So it's a massive strategic win for families, but a very expensive illusion for a budget-conscious single user.
So the average consumer is getting heavily subsidized by their carrier to enter a very rigidly controlled lockdown AI ecosystem on their phone.
Right.
But if you're a developer, a researcher, or just a power user who likes to tinker, that's your worst nightmare. You don't want the carrier's prepackaged Omakai's chef. You want the keys to the entire commercial pitch-in.
You demand total flexibility.
Exactly. And the software market is evolving rapidly to provide exactly that, specifically with a new platform called Chat Playground AI.
Well, this is one of the most practical developments we've seen for anyone who uses AI professionally. Up until now, power users have suffered from severe tab fatigue.
Tab fatigue is real.
It is. You ask ChatGPT a complex question, the answer isn't quite right, so you copy-paste the prompt into Claude in a new tab. Then maybe you run it through Google's Gemini to double-check the live web links.
It's incredibly fragmented.
Completely. Chat Playground AI solves this by consolidating over 20 major models into a single unified interface.
We're talking GPT-4o, Claude Opus, Gemini 1.5 Pro, Llama 3.2, DeepSeek V3, all available in one place.
All of the heavy hitters.
But how does that actually look? Is it just a dashboard with 20 different chat windows?
No, it enables a workflow called Ensemble AI. Instead of dealing with the friction of switching tabs, the interface allows you to query multiple models simultaneously in parallel columns.
Oh, wow. In parallel?
Yes. You type one prompt and you watch four or five distinct models generate their outputs side by side in real time, allowing you to leverage their specific individual strengths.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Because the analogy here is fantastic. Before, using AI was like having one incredibly smart intern that you had to keep firing and rehiring depending on the specific task you needed done.
Yeah, exactly.
But with Ensemble AI, you essentially have a permanent boardroom of highly specialized experts, and they are all sitting around a large table simultaneously debating and contributing to your project.
That is a brilliant visualization. Imagine you are working on a complex task, like writing a rigorous, well-researched article on quantum computing. If you're using this Ensemble boardroom, GPT-4 might excel at generating a highly engaging creative introduction. Claude is currently unmatched at rigorous technical analysis and maintaining logical consistency throughout the body paragraphs.
Right.
Gemini is deeply integrated with Google Search, so it's pulling the absolute latest research papers from the live web.
No.
And Perplexity is running in the background, specifically fact-checking every single claim and generating your citations.
And if you're coding, if you're a developer and your Python script throws a cryptic error, you can drop it into the boardroom. GPT-4 gives you a quick patch to get it running.
Yep.
Claude explains the fundamental root cause of why the logic broke in the first place. And DeepSeek, which specializes heavily in code generation, proposes a complete optimized rewrite of the script to ensure it never happens again.
It is incredibly powerful.
It really is. But what is the economic model here? Because subscribing to all these elite tiers individually would be painfully expensive.
It would be. If you were to subscribe to ChatGPT Plus, Claude Pro, and Gemini Advanced individually, you'd be spending over $2,100 over 3 years.
Nobody wants to pay that.
Right. But Chat Playground is currently offering a lifetime access deal for about $70 to $75.
Wait, really? $75 for lifetime access to 20 different premium models? How is that a sustainable business model for them?
Well, it's likely not sustainable long term.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The economics of lifetime software as a service deals are always a gamble.
Yeah.
For the user, I mean, it pays for itself in less than 2 months compared to buying individual subscriptions, so your upfront financial risk is very low.
That's a good point.
However, you always have to question the longevity of a startup offering unlimited lifetime compute access for a flat fee. It's highly probable they're using this aggressive pricing to build a massive, dedicated user base quickly.
With the ultimate plan to introduce lucrative enterprise tiers or usage caps later on. Right, it's a land grab. But even with that incredible boardroom of AI experts at your disposal, there's still a major limiting factor.
Yeah, you came in the loop.
Exactly. You still have to sit at the head of the table, write the prompts, synthesize the outputs, and stitch that quantum computing article together. You are still the conductor.
Yeah, which is inefficient.
Right. The enterprise world is realizing that having a human bottleneck at the center of every workflow is incredibly inefficient. They are moving from human-prompted models to fully autonomous AI agents that actually take action on their own.
Yes.
And the prime example in our sources today is Nectar Social.
Oh, yeah. Nectar Social just secured a $30 million Series A funding round led by Menlo Ventures and the Anthology Fund.
That's serious backing.
It is. And the pedigree of the founders is notable. It was built by Misbah and Farah Yerezi,
What?
two sisters who were formerly high-level executives at Meta.
And they built Nectar to solve a very specific nightmare for corporate marketing teams. Right now, a modern marketing department is completely drowning in software.
Oh, complete.
You have one tool for social listening, another for post scheduling, a third for influencer outreach, a fourth for data analytics. Teams are juggling 15 to 20 different platforms.
It's chaos.
It is. Nectar consolidates all of that into a unified marketing operating system.
But, the consolidation isn't the true breakthrough here. The breakthrough is the Nectar agent.
Okay, tell me about the agent.
This is an autonomous AI agent that doesn't just chat with you about your marketing strategy, it actively executes that strategy.
I see the distinction. It's the difference between asking an AI to write a tweet for you to post versus the AI just logging in and posting it itself.
Exactly. It generates platform-specific content autonomously, knowing intrinsically that a fast-paced video for TikTok requires a totally different tone and pacing than a professional text post for LinkedIn.
Right.
It identifies trending topics in real time, drafts responses to customer comments, and even proactively emails human influencers to negotiate collaboration proposals.
That is wild. And we are already seeing massive results at the enterprise level. The cosmetics brand ELF Beauty deployed Nectar across 12 different social platforms to autonomously coordinate with over 500 influencers.
500.
Yeah. And they saw a 40% increase in overall engagement. Liquid Death, the beverage company known for its incredibly specific, irreverent brand voice, used Nectar to triple their content output without hiring a single additional human team member.
All while perfectly maintaining that distinct, edgy tone, which is hard for AI to do.
Exactly.
It represents a fundamental paradigm shift for the modern workforce. We are moving away from hiring human specialists to click buttons and manage distinct software tools.
Right, the tools are running themselves.
Instead, companies will deploy autonomous AI agents to execute the routine workflows, while the human employees are elevated to focus purely on high-level strategy and creative direction.
But, I mean, if we are taking the human out of the loop for complex workflows, if Nectar is autonomously running the corporate marketing and DeepSeek is autonomously rewriting the code base, it feels like the only things left for humans to do are the things we inevitably mess up.
We really are the weakest link.
We are the weakest link in the chain. So if we are keeping humans around, we need a fundamentally new approach to guardrails. What happens when humans get lazy or make a critical error that the AI can't foresee?
Well, that is the exact tension we are seeing right now. And the sources show two very different approaches to building those human guardrails.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first approach is about fixing our inevitable mistakes through AI-powered real-time education. This is highlighted by a new partnership between Dashlane, the enterprise password manager, and KnowBe4, the massive security awareness platform.
Because let's be honest, corporate cybersecurity training is universally despised. We all hate those videos. Once a year, you sit in a conference room, watch a boring compliance video about hackers, click through a multiple choice quiz, and forget everything the moment you leave the room.
It just doesn't work.
I imagine the only way to actually fix human behavior is to catch people red-handed. You'd need a system that taps them on the shoulder the exact second their mouse clicks the phishing link, rather than lecturing them 6 months later in a seminar.
That is exactly the deduction Dashlane and OB4 made. Educational psychology relies heavily on the teachable moment.
Right.
95% of successful cyber breaches are the result of simple human error. So Dashlane software operates as a browser extension and a background process, monitoring user behavior in real time.
Okay.
If an employee clicks a suspicious link in an email or attempts to reuse a compromised password on a new site, the AI instantly intercepts that web request. It blocks the page from loading and delivers a personalized, bite-sized training module right then and there.
And the sources note this is incredibly vital for Mac administrators. Apparently, Mac environments have very specific security protocols, things like File Vault and gatekeepers, that generic Windows-focused annual training completely ignores.
Right. For those unfamiliar, File Vault is Apple's built-in encryption that scrambles your actual hard drives, ensuring that if a thief physically steals your laptop, they can't extract your files.
Important stuff.
Very. And Gatekeeper is the protocol that strictly stops unapproved malicious software from being installed in the first place. The AI tailors its real-time training not just to the mistake the employee made, but to these specific Mac operating system features and the user's technical proficiency.
And the data proves this interception model actually works. Organizations using this real-time AI-driven training saw their phishing click rates plummet from an average of 25% down to just 8% in only 6 months.
That is a massive reduction in human error.
It is, but that is how we use AI to lovingly correct genuine human mistakes. The academic world is taking a much, much harsher approach when it comes to humans just being outright lazy.
Oh, definitely.
Archives, which is the world's most vital scientific preprint repository, has officially declared war on what they are calling AI slop.
Now, Archive is a big deal because it's a preprint server, right?
Exactly. This is where physicists and computer scientists publish their bleeding-edge research before it goes through traditional month-long peer review. So the entire platform relies heavily on trust.
Right.
And recently, they've been flooded with academic papers containing obvious AI hallucinations. We are talking about entirely fabricated data sets, mathematically nonsensical proofs, and hallucinated citations to research papers that literally do not exist.
Yes. They're even catching papers that still have the phrase, as an AI language model, I cannot provide, left right in the middle of the conclusion paragraph.
It's just so lazy.
It's pure, unadulterated laziness. So ARCIF has instituted a nuclear option. If their moderators find incontrovertible evidence that you submitted an AI-generated paper without verifying the results, you are hit with a devastating one-year ban from submitting to the repository.
Wow.
And even after that year is up, your future work has to pass stringent peer review somewhere else before ArcGIF will even allow you to upload again.
But wait, I have to push back here. Isn't this a bit hypocritical?
How so?
We literally just talked about enterprise tech companies throwing millions of dollars at Nectar Social to build autonomous marketing agents that do our jobs for us without human intervention. But the minute a physicist or a computer scientist uses AI to write a paper, their career gets nuked with a one-year ban.
This raises an important question about the fundamental purpose of different industries.
Okay, I'm listening.
The ultimate goal of marketing is engagement, scale, and sales. Efficiency is highly prized. But the ultimate goal of scientific publishing is objective truth and human understanding. ArcGIF is actually very nuanced here. They are not banning AI entirely.
Oh, they're not.
No, they have established a very clear golden rule. You are absolutely allowed to use AI to clean up your grammar, to logically structure your arguments, or to assist with writing the Python code for your data analysis.
Oh, I see. So it's not the tool itself. It's about the role that AI plays in the creation process.
Precisely. The definitive red line is using AI as a ghostwriter. The policy explicitly states that the human researcher must read, deeply understand, and take full ethical responsibility for every single word in that paper.
Right.
If an AI hallucinates a citation, the human is responsible for failing to verify it. This is the scientific community drawing a definitive line in the sand. AI is an incredibly powerful tool for accelerating research, but it cannot and will not be accepted as a replacement for human judgment and scientific integrity.
So what does this all mean? We have covered massive ground today.
We really have.
We started with Google dismantling the old switchboard, weaving predictive federated AI into the very fabric of our operating systems like a digital omakase chef. We saw T-Mobile essentially subsidizing the expensive new hardware needed to access it while attempting to lock consumers into premium plans. We saw power users building Ensemble AI boardrooms with Chat Playground, while enterprise companies deploy fully autonomous Nectar agents to run their marketing campaigns without human bottlenecks.
And finally, we looked at the guardrails.
Right. Dashlane stepping in to train us the second we make a cyber mistake, and ArcSif bringing down the hammer when we try to abdicate our human responsibility to the machines.
It is a profound structural shift across every layer of the technology stack.
Yeah.
But synthesizing all of this leaves us with one truly fascinating implication to consider.
What's that?
Well, if AI is successfully anticipating our calendar needs on our phones, and if it's autonomously negotiating with influencers online, and it's automatically intercepting our cybersecurity mistakes, what happens when all these autonomous AI agents start predominantly interacting with each other? Will the future of the internet simply consist of an AI marketing agent autonomously pitching a new product directly to your personal AI assistant, negotiating the transaction, and completing the sale in milliseconds while we humans just sit back and watch the grid run itself?
The switchboard is completely gone, and the grid is just talking to the grid. That is an incredible thought to leave on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring, keep questioning the information around you, and we will see you next time.